Hi, my name is Teresa Day, and I was born and raised here in Belltown, a few miles down, and still have a lot of family down here, so I have a lot of ties and connections down here. A few years ago, we bought down here in Eagle Point, about 4 years ago, in hopes to retire down here when I get like 80 years old or something. But I was when we moved here, when we bought here, it was not disclosed, for one thing, that we were living next to a grave site. We bought the place, and a few months later, after they started building, there was this fence. And I took my brother out there and looked at it. I'm like, oh, my God, what is this fence all about? And my husband went inside and inquired, and apparently it was a grave site. And my husband knows, I used to be afraid of deceased people. I mean, they would, like, spook me, like, I would go crazy. And I went through a lot of hoops to not live next to a gravesite. But here I was, you know, in it was not disclosed to us. But I've actually gotten more used to it now and all that, so I can sleep at night. But it was also not disclosed that we were living next. Well, we knew that we were living next to a landfill, but we didn't realize the implications that had on, you know, what that could mean to property values and all of that, and health and safety and all of that. So there were a lot of things that were not disclosed at the time. Had I known that, I would not have bought where I bought. I live right next to the gravesite, and my house backs up to the landfill. So I didn't realize that I was buying into all of that, but the gravesite represents, you know, people resting in peace, and I've come to terms with that. But in the meantime, if we build over top of them at this point, what are we doing to, you know, the ancestors of these folks and, you know, the deceased as well? I think it's unfair to them to try to build over top of that. Also, I ditto everything that's been said in opposition to the land, you know, the apartments being built on top of this landfill, you know, safety and health concerns and all that. But I'm also very concerned. My house backs up to the landfill, and if we build on top of that, I'm very concerned about the safety of our unit. What's that going to do? Because I'm not here during the week. I live up in Wilmington, work there. And I'm just very concerned about, you know, what's going to happen, you know, to the safety of our, you know, backyard and our houses. You know, when we live in a tight community in Eagle Point, and everybody kind of looks out for each other. So if we have a lot of, you know, rental units there and people that don't have any real ties or any pride in, you know, where they're living or whatever, I'm not saying that they won't, but this is the type of thing that you're introducing when you, you know, have low-income housing. What's going to happen to security of it? Also, what's going to happen to the property value? We all know that, you know, bad economy is going on, so our housing property has decreased. I believe that if we build there behind our house, the property value is going to go down even lower. And God forbid, if I have to sell my house, I'm going to lose money. And right now, you know, everybody's losing money. We understand that, but I'm very, very concerned about our property value. Also, one thing I meant to find out, and it's not really a question, but just wanted to pose, who's going to be policing who? If DENREC is in partnership with a developer, and they're saying that, oh, yeah, well, the samples are, you know, fine, and, you know, you can build here, and it's safe, and all of that. And if the developer's saying, oh, yeah, okay, you know, you're giving us permission to do that, who's policing who if they're in partnership with each other? I just wanted to pose that as a concern. That's it.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And we appreciate you using the term ditto on some other comments. And is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition, sir?
Good evening, council members. My name is Bob Berlinski, and I'm an Eagle Point homeowner in Lewis. I would like to bring to the attention of the council a number of issues regarding, yes, the existing freshwater wetlands in Jackson Pit. DENREC's wetlands review comments on this PLUS application addressed the following five areas. Number one, before any activity, the developer must obtain a permit from the Division of Water Resources, Wetlands, and Subaqueous Lands Section. There are two state-regulated palustrine emergent and palustrine forested wetlands that can be found on the statewide wetland mapping project document. And with my testimony, I have a map that you'll be able to view. Number two, before any work, the developer must obtain a permit with respect to any regulated perennial or intermittent streams and ditches. In addition, an on-site jurisdictional determination is recommended to determine whether any regulated water courses exist on the property. Number three, is this site in compliance with the federal provisions of the Clean Water Act? Specifically, do any construction and or filling activities affect areas which contain wetlands or wetlands-associated hydric soils? Number four, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has final jurisdictional authority, and it must officially approve a completed field wetlands delineation showing that this site contains non-jurisdictional isolated wetlands. Finally, number five, in its watershed assessment section, DENREC recommends a minimum 100-foot buffer planted in native vegetation. This will be established and maintained from the landward edge of all wetlands and water bodies, including all ditches. And this would meet the need to protect water quality. Well, the developer has responded to only one of DENREC's five recommendations, that being the issue of federal jurisdiction. On May 27, 2003, a letter was submitted on his behalf by Dr. Evelyn Moore, Mayor of Coastal and Estuarine Research, Inc., to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. It states, and I quote, that based on field investigations of vegetation, soils, and hydrology conducted on March 11, 2002, there are no federal 404 wetlands on this site, end of quote. Unfortunately, there is no evidence that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has officially approved these findings and released this property for construction. This field study was conducted 7.5 years ago, and a DENREC remediation plan was submitted later in the fall of that year. DENREC's report only covered 5 of the 18-plus acres of this land parcel, while it was still under the ownership of another party. New and thorough field studies must be completed and officially approved by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. In summary, freshwater wetlands meet a critical need. Rainwater drains into and is held by them, so they can continue to act as natural purifiers and rechargers for the shallow, unconfined aquifer which rests under Jackson Pit. Even today, scientists are not in agreement as to exactly how the loss of Delaware's freshwater wetlands can adversely impact the natural processes and natural equilibrium which was reached at Jackson Pit over the years. Many people in the Lewis area are depending on you to ensure the safety and quality of our drinking water. Your role as council members must be to preserve and protect our freshwater wetlands. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, and thank you for addressing a new area. Is there any other comments? Yes. Oh, I'm sorry, didn't see you coming up.
My name is Harvey C. Morris. I am chairman of the administrative council at Israel United Methodist Church. And I would just like to read this letter from members of Israel United Methodist Church. We, the members of Israel United Methodist Church, oppose the Arbors of Cottagedale Apartments applications for placement of the apartments on the Brownfield Dump, aka Jackson Pit. The church has been in this area for over 150 years plus, and the surrounding property has been highly maintained to preserve this historical site and the surrounding cemetery. The entrance to and exit from the church parking lot areas on both sides of the church already pose a difficult and dangerous pathway onto Plantation Road. The proposed apartment complex reveals only one roadway in and out, as well as the only outlet for the project construction operations, which will also promote hazardous pollution. Therefore, we feel it is extremely unwise to add to the traffic congestion and serious environmental effects of toxic waste that is already present. We trust the Commission will take into consideration the historic preservation of Israel United Methodist Church and the cemetery surrounding the property and the environment, and strongly urge you to please decline approval of this multifamily development or any future applications for this brownfield property. The future of assuring that our citizens and children live in a safe environment remains within the power of your decision. So please protect our community and roadway. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Would you like to leave a copy of your remarks for the record to give them to Mr.
Yeah, we have it.
We do have them. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Yes, sir.
Good evening, council members. My name is Glendon Jackson, and I live at 33372 McKenzie Way. I've a lifetime residence. I've lived in the area all my life. I am married with three children. It amazes me. I stood at this podium, I guess, back in 2004 when the initial project was before the county council and the planning and zoning. And believe it or not, I was the only one in opposition here. And that was part and due because sure, all these people behind me and the ones that were here at the planning and zoning meeting was not aware, like this was said tonight, that there was a brownfield property there. That was one thing. Another one was it was only 80 units compared to 216 now. So I'm glad to see that I have a lot more opposition here tonight with me. A few things I'd like to ask. The traffic study that was talked about tonight that I believe the gentleman said was done at peak times. I'd like to know what that peak time is. Has he got hours or days or whatever? It'd be interesting to know that. The actual width of the entrance exit to this property would be another interesting fact. I'd like to know what that actually is or will be, I guess. Also, I think I heard that, if I'm correct, they were talking about traffic signals being installed, but no traffic signal at this particular entrance exit to this development, correct?
Thank you.
That amazes me. It wouldn't be a traffic signal there. I can't understand that. Denrek, last time I was here during the planning and zoning, Mrs. Hall made her statements and so forth. And then, at any rate, after the meeting, like 2 days later, I gave her a call and asked if she would be interested in meeting me on site, and I could give her my insight on what I know about this brownfield. I am 57 years old. This property in question was my uncle's and my aunt's property. It was a borrow pit, as it's been stated. I've hauled many loads of dirt out of it myself, and I have seen firsthand the things that have been hauled back in. And they range from household garbage to actual vehicles, complete vehicle, refrigerators, stoves, ranges, you name it. Whatever back in the day, as we want to call it, I would call it, you can imagine what went into a landfill. Batteries, that'd be car batteries, or flashlight batteries, you name it. Anything and everything went into this landfill. This landfill is, when we dug this out, I'd say it probably at least a depth of 20, 25 feet. And that's been backfilled 20 to 25 feet with household garbage and so forth. The property has been rented out over the years to different contractors, from contractors that, building contractors that hauled all kinds of building material in there. Sheetrock, like I heard earlier, lumber, and so forth. Different contractors have hauled concrete in there, asphalt in there, just about anything from any construction businesses has been hauled in there. At one point in time, actual Kent County sewer actually brought their treated sewage. After it was treated and so forth, it was in solid form and dumped it back there for years.
Sludge.
Yeah.
Well, sludge, maybe that's what you would call it, but anyhow, it was after it was treated. Over the years, as I was growing up, it was actual raw sewage was dumped on that property for years and years. I know firsthand that used motor oil, was used on the roadway, McKenzie Way, going back to this for keep the dust down, number one, and also for compaction. It was great for compacting the earth. So it's interesting to note that, like I was saying earlier, I called Mrs. Hall a couple days after the hearing, planning and zoning, and she was interested in meeting me. However, she said she was getting ready to go on vacation and gave me a date when she could meet me, which ironically is this week after this meeting. It was a long vacation. But anyhow, I did get a call from her yesterday, and she's still interested in meeting me, her and her supervisor, which I am looking forward to meeting with them. It was also stated that since this initial hearing for the planning and zoning hearing, there has been a interest in the lot next to me for a proposed daycare center, which was going to be more traffic. Being in the area all my life, like I said, I was born and reared there, and I have seen quite a big difference in traffic pattern and so forth. It's gotten to the point that I have told my own family members, if they're coming out of our McKenzie Way to Plantations Road, that instead of crossing both lanes of traffic to head south towards 24, if you will, I've asked them to turn right and head north just because of the traffic conditions, so forth, trying to get across two lanes of traffic. I mean, it's just that much traffic. And I cannot, for the life of me, comprehend adding this much more traffic per day to get out onto Plantation Road when it's almost impossible now for us to do it. We've got to wait and wait and wait. like I've mentioned to my wife, it's going to be a traffic jam on McKenzie Way. We won't even be able to get out of our driveway to get on McKenzie Way if this goes through. So I am definitely in opposition of the density, not necessarily the development. Like I stated earlier, the 80 units, I don't think it was a problem. You didn't have all these people here when the 80 units was proposed. And I'd like to say one more thing. When I was here, it was told to everyone in here that all the debris was going to be hauled out of there, all of it. I even questioned it. I said, you're going to tell me you're going to haul all the debris out? And they said, yes, Mr. Jackson, everything's going to be hauled out. I said, well, who's going to oversee it? And they said, Demrec's going to oversee it. I said, well, there will be someone else. And they said, who's that, Mr. Jackson? I said, me, because I would like to see it. You don't have any idea what's in there and how much is in there. So, and just to end this and just to say it must come true, because undoubtedly after that, the developer gave up on it for whatever reason. I wouldn't say an obvious reason, because he did determine how much was in there and how much it would cost to remove it. So again, I am definitely in opposition. Thank you.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes,
Was it a dry borrow pit or a wetland?
It was dry and wet. For the most part, it was dry. Of course, when it rained, it was wet. But like it stated, sandy soil and everything, it doesn't stay on top of the ground long.
I live on sandy soil, but we go 10 foot and we're in the water. So we live in a different spot.
Believe it or not, where I live right now on McKenzie Way, I drove my own well when I moved there 25, 30 years ago. And I went to a depth of 30 feet and I hit water. And that's what I used for years and years. And I finally put in a new well, went a lot deeper.
Our family well is 29 feet.
Was that part of the Herman and Delilah Norwood property at one point?
Not this property,
wasn't.
No.
Was adjacent to it?
Eagle Point is Herman and Norwood Delilah's property.
Right.
That was Eagle.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Was there anyone, sir?
Good evening. My name is Michael Tyler. I'm president of Citizens Coalition. And a couple of things I'd like to mention. As a hardcore cyclist, I didn't hear anything about bike lanes on plantation roads. But Plantation Road is a very popular road used by cyclists because of its wide shoulders. And we lost a little bit of that shoulder when Lowe's was built, and I'd hate to see us lose any more shoulder because of the development that's going to be on Plantation Road. Secondly, in the comp plan, I'm going to read this. It's talking about the environmentally sensitive developing areas. And under densities, it says, the environmentally sensitive developing areas function as an overlay area to several underlying zoning districts. Most of the environmental sensitive developing areas should continue to allow 2 homes per acre. The option should exist to go up to 4 units per acre if the developer uses optional density bonuses. Smaller lots and flexibility in dimensional standards should be allowed if the developer uses a cluster option that results in permanent preservation of a substantial percentage of the tract. I don't see any of that here. You asked about densities along Plantation Road. I believe it was Woods Edge, correct me if I'm wrong, was the highest density this council has ever approved in the 15 years I've lived there, or 18 years I've lived here, and that was 8 units per acre. If you go out to, this is over 11. If you go out to the villages of Five Points, I think the density there is 3.2, even with all the houses, because they have single family homes there and they have a lot more open space. So this is probably the highest density that I can ever remember that this council is being faced with. It's not in the commercial district. Now the commercial district is different. You're allowing up to 12 units per acre. Mm-hmm. But this is not in the commercial district. So I would caution you and raise a considerable concern that this really is going against everything that this council and the councils before you have established for densities in the area. Citizens Coalition has appeared before this council many times since it was established and incorporated as a 501c3 nonprofit community organization some 15 years ago. We promoted managing growth, stood for sustainable development, and urged council to require responsible land use. The application before you today, in our opinion, fails all three of these, especially the last, responsible land use. With so much buildable land across the county and even in areas closer to transportation infrastructure, building a high-density complex on or near toxic landfill poses a health threat that is difficult to accept, especially when the number of 216 dwelling units are slated for moderately priced income, when a number of the units are slated for moderately priced income families. The zoning change and conditional use as requested by the applicant may serve a need for affordable rental units. However, it represents considerable negative health safety issues that you cannot ignore. To quote a recent editorial in the Cape Gazette, and I quote, "With all the available places to live, no one in Sussex County, middle income or otherwise, should live on a known dump." Citizens Coalition asks that you request that a total remediation of the entire Jackson site be completed, not just part of it, and that if it can be safely made whole, that the land be developed as zoned. Citizens Coalition has taken this position consistently in scores of objective testimonies we've presented over the years. Until this site is neutralized without any serious ramifications to future residents and those already living near the site, this can be the only course to take. Finally, respect for Native American burial sites has for too long been ignored and given a bureaucratic back of the hand. Even if the land can be remediated, we must not ignore the voices of these proud people who long inhabited this land. We must resist accepting short-term profit and strive for something more valuable, respecting the culture and the values of Native Americans who call themselves the people. It's priceless. For these and many other serious concerns that you've already heard, Citizens Coalition requests that you deny both change of zone number 1687 and conditional use number 1845. And I'll give my testimony to Lawrence.
Yes.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity to talk tonight.
Is there anyone else?
Thank you, Michael.
Let's see.
Thank you. My name is Betty Deacon. I live at 18201 Hickory Lane, Lewis, Delaware, and I'm testifying on behalf of the Sandy Bray Homeowners Association, who are totally opposed to this development. Ditto on traffic. I wanted to make three quick points. Sandy Bray is an old community, so a lot of our, not a lot, but I would say about 30 of our homes out of 250-some are rented. And I want to comment on this beach community thing, because invariably, somebody moves out, they get one or two people to sign a lease to rent the house, and within 2 weeks, there are six or seven cars parked in the driveway. And it takes forever to get it straight. I mean, government is incremental. I worked in it all my life. I understand that. Second thing, any development that Cape Henlopen chose to comment on in this area, they said they could not accommodate that development. If I remember correctly, I think they said that for Deep Valley Farms on Route 9. So they can't handle this, whether they said it or not. The third thing I would say is, our communities will not be held hostage by Denrick or this developer. This site's going to be cleaned up. We're going to work on it, and we're going to get this site cleaned up. And now that us who live there know that, it's going to be clean with respect to the Native American graves and with respect to Eagle Point and Israel United Methodist Church. Thank you.
Good idea.
Thank you. Any other comments? Sir?
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Very right to the point. Mm-hmm. Council members, my name is Dale Houck. I am a resident of Eagle Point. Perhaps you'd be interested and happy to see me this evening. I had a list here prior to the meeting of possible speakers that were opposed to the arbors of Cottagedale, and my name was the last one on the list. So I don't know whether that's going to be true or not. I think what you've listened to here this evening is business versus personal. And certainly those of us who take this personal, you know, you hear it from a different perspective. In coming here to Delaware, friends of mine reminded me, they produced for me at home this past month a letter that I wrote 10 years ago, where I referred that I was still working hard, looking forward to retirement, and unless I hit the lottery, then they'd be coming to Delaware and enjoying, you know, a beautiful beach home that I would have purchased and be willing to share. Well, I got to retirement a little quicker than 10 years, and I've been fortunate enough that they now have a place to come and visit me in Delaware. Like some of the others who have testified here this evening, I was not aware when we purchased our property of any development that was going in, so this came as quite a shock, obviously, to my wife and myself. On a personal note, you know, we have quite a concern. We have four daughters and two granddaughters, and thought was not necessarily that I would live my whole life here in Delaware. Although my father is 100 years old, I'm hoping to follow in his footsteps, so I may have quite a few more years here with the rest of you. But I look forward more towards that it would be some place that my children and their children would be enjoying. They've had now some summers to do that, and they look forward to it. But in answer to Mr. Cole's question here originally of some of the other speakers, would I oppose this? It scares the heck out of me. You know, when you hear about brown land and so forth here, you know, contaminants, dump sites, and so forth, that scares me. It scares me for, again, my children and my grandchildren, you know, that they would come down here and be living next to something like that. So I guess if I had to, on a personal note, say, do I oppose the project? My answer is yes. Coming from Pennsylvania, I don't know if you know the word druthers, if you have your druthers. Well, as I said, if I had my druthers, I would oppose this, and I would ask you to stop this. But I'm not in a position to do that. I'm not, you know, I don't have my druthers. I'm not sitting where you are. And I'm very happy that I'm standing on this side of the microphone, and you're sitting on that side and have to make the decision. Because I certainly wouldn't want to have to do that. It's very difficult, and I can appreciate what all of you have to go through. One of the things in working for my 36 years in education is I always thought, you know, I wanted to know the answer before I asked the question. You know, I wanted to know ahead of time before I could make the decision, before I knew what was going on. And I guess I'm asking you to do that this evening, when you decide finally, once and for all, what the answer to this question is going to be. And the Eagle Point Coalition perhaps is requesting a few conditions, if you're able to do that, that you can place on the zoning, on any approval of a zoning application for this project. I started out here with a list of 11 items. And in trying not to be redundant, I've tried to keep notes here. I've made a mess of my papers here. So I'll try to do that, I promise you. We would ask that you complete with DENRIC a thorough contamination pollution testing program and have that institute that program with water and soil sampling to form the basis for a remediation program. In other words, know what you're getting into, what they're getting into before it actually starts. There shouldn't be any surprises. You don't start something and then, oh my gosh, here, we found this. You'd like to know ahead of time what's going on. We agree here with Professor Curtis about conducting an archaeological study before construction starts. Heritage is important. And we want to ensure here any Native American Nanticoke Indian burial sites or any other burial sites are preserved. I agree here that to reduce the density of the design. You know, if we don't have our druthers to stop this, then we would ask that you go back to the originally approved plan of 80 units. We also agree here that the United States Army Corps of Engineers should release the property from its jurisdiction over wetlands. I heard testimony here earlier that they have already considered the impervious surface here or covering of reducing it from the possible 60%, if I heard correctly, to 50%. 50%, half of that could be covered, could be macadam. In my mind, that's a lot. You know, again, I don't know, but in taking a look at that, we would ask that it be less than that, if possible. Whatever the minimum would be for that project. The traffic, you've heard, is terrible. When I started coming down here 30 years ago, down Route 1. Streetlight. What took a couple and a half hours, you know, now takes over 3.5 hours. You know, the first thing I learned when I moved here was you don't go on Route 1 when you can go down Plantation. And never on a Saturday. You know, plan something at home. What is Plantation Road going to look like? Oh, my gosh. I can't imagine that. And again, whenever it happens, traffic light, it's just going to back up even further. It's. I don't know what that's going to turn into here. We'd ask that the property be properly prepare the soils for construction to ensure that no sinkholes or other ground movements cause foundations to crack or sink into the ground. Again, planning. I don't know how you prevent that, but you certainly try to do your best here. I heard also that perhaps a concession would be the concern. One of the concerns of the Eagle Point residents was that they would have a sidewalk or some kind of connectivity through Eagle Point. I heard if that's important to us, maybe that could be eliminated. Not that I'm distrustful, but you know, I think I'd like to see that in writing. You know, just something that's important is that. In connection also in coordination here with Denrick, not only remove all the solid waste material and or provide for the methane and gas monitoring system they talked about earlier, but again, the venting bothers me. I have seen or understand, I've never seen this, but I understand that there is also plans that can be put into place that burns off the gas upon emission that would prevent any possible accumulation and explosions down the road. I don't know if I'm being overdramatic about that or not, but it certainly, as I said earlier, it scares me. And we would ask also that the developer can have some type of a plan that continues with a systematic monitoring of neighborhood private wells and public water supply. It's difficult for me to say, okay, you've dug down 25 feet, it's all gone, no problem. Like I said, I'd like to think that I'm going to be around here for a lot more years, as are a lot of us who live near that site. I don't want to, you know, have something happen that 10 years from now, all of a sudden, you know, the well water's bad, the water supply is this or that. I'd ask for some kind of a continued effort on that part. One last personal note before I finish up here. Coming to Delaware, I think you have to become a Delaware Blue Hen fan. I don't know how many of you are, but when you watch the games or if you root for the Delaware Blue Hens, I'm sure you've heard the name now, Mark Mackey. An N for them, who's quite a good player. He was a former student of mine, so there's a special place in my heart. Root for him. He's a good guy. He was an excellent student and a wonderful young man. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would wish to speak?
Forever hold your peace.
There's one more.
My name is Brooke Freeman. With your permission, I would like to use one of the maps.
Yes, what's your address, sir?
So you know where I'm coming from. This is where I live. I've lived in this area my entire life. There's a couple things that I agree with all of the traffic things that were said in opposition. I do want to let you know that this past summer we've had a corn stand here at the end of Plantation, Robinsonville Road, so I have observed the traffic. I can tell you traffic has backed up from 24 past Robinsonville Road. I've watched many times traffic back up on Robinsonville Road, down way past Morning View, which is down here. On this aerial map, you can see very clearly the road comes up in this direction, right there at the end of this entrance to this development, and it narrows down, and it's restricted. And if you look at the right-of-way, you will find that it's 10 feet narrow there. So anybody that can suggest or wants to suggest that they will be able to widen that road at that point to let people on or off, I totally disagree. And I know this for a fact because back in the 80s, I was the only one that stood in opposition to the plantation. And that was the first development that came up. And I did it on the safety issue, on the impact of traffic. They increased the traffic at the maximum of 600 cars a day. And that one development went 10 times, almost up to 6,000. And that's nothing compared to what's going on now. The other thing I like to expand on is the size of the pit. I have tried, I talked with Dave Baker, because the only records on the fire calls that was made to put out the fires back in this pit goes way back, and I personally called one in the early 80s, and that's because, as I indicated, I live here, and with that burning, and it would burn and burn and burn, and after 2 weeks, I just couldn't take it any longer, would call the fire company, and they would say, please don't call them. There's no way they can put it out. Mm-hmm. I think you can go back and talk to some of the other local people, and they can tell you it's not a one-time thing. So this particular pit has been, what's the best way of saying, they've tried to not entirely present the size of it. And as you indicated earlier, the depth of what they dug, I can remember on some occasions all the way back in this area here that it would dig down and there was water that they were pushing into. Not all the time. The only time I ever went back there was to get dirt. A lot of the people I talked to, it was just a natural thing that they would do to go back there and dump all kinds of stuff. So I wanted you to know that it was burning. It's just not something that has deteriorated. So whatever heat would have caused the deterioration or to expose lead or any other contaminants that's in the soil that have or have not been mentioned tonight, fire over and over, and sometimes these would burn for months. At the time, there was only a couple houses around, so it's like they used to clear woods and they pile them up and just let them burn for weeks at a time. The other thing is, you indicated that there's a necessity, and you're going to point out that they're selling you this bill of sales that 32 is going to make a big difference. I suggest that because the state owns property back right over here, right off of 23, they have owned it for I don't know how many years. They can go ahead and develop that. And if there's money to clean up this borrow pit, certainly apply it to that, and it'll even bring the rates down even lower for affordable housing, and it will go on and do a whole lot more because there'd be no restriction because they're not looking for a profit. Another thing, you indicated about wanting to try to having the deed to let people know that they're building on top of that. I can tell you for a fact, I stood here and brought it to the attention that people here tonight don't even want to hear it. But under permit, Mr. Jackson told you earlier that Kent County don't sludge, treated sludge. In this area here, clear down, it would be dumped under permit, raw sewage that's pumped out of septic tanks, and dumped, because I personally know, I used to work for Mr. Herman Norwood as a boy, plowing his fields, and I would plow, and it would be that thick with black, and it would just be tilled under, and then it was a sand hill. How far it goes back in here, I can't testify to that, because I'm not sure of it, but there's more than what you've been told, and I hope I have brought up to some of these points. I tried to get a hold of the fire record. I told you that earlier. I talked to Mr. Baker. The only thing is under the 911 administration, they have it in a card form. I tried to get it under the the local fire company, and it's just not on the database, and it would take a lot of time. So I ask if it's of importance to you that you leave the, that you want to see that and won't take my word for it, that I will go back and approach Mr. Baker, and I said I would tell you this, that if you needed more than just what I'm saying, I can go back and get the documentation, but it'll cost the county time and money to search through it. And I personally have called it in, so I know for a fact. The other thing, these turning lanes, they have been making them, that area more hazardous, and there's going to be more and more accidents. And one thing I did once years ago, and this is not to be offend anybody on this council meeting, but I went on the plantation when I was injected to that. I went for the traffic study, and the traffic study can tell you everything that's happened on that road, gives you the hour and the minute printout as to when the cars were going by. If they did back then, I know they can do it now. Mm-hmm. But what happened is I went on, and I, over 4 years, I showed the number of accidents, where they happened and when they happened, and I had a computer printout this thick. I presented it to one of the former board councilmen, and they looked at it and said, this can't be right, and threw it on the floor. So I've come away from the conclusion sometimes is be careful, don't confuse people with the facts. So I know you've listened to testimony, but I'm not going to waste time to bring up things to you that's factual and it's going to be disregarded. I think enough has been said about the safety on the roads, health on the dump, and it's not keeping it within the community. That is not fitting for here. Now, if you in good conscience can approve this, I'm going to make one suggestion where you can make money. And that is, you look at everything that you have question about this, and again, in good conscience, you all go by there and say yes to this. I'm going to suggest that you get a hold of these same people and have them go down there to the Angola landfill and start developing it. Because you know for a fact that you've had to put in water because people can't. You've already demonstrated. You don't have to speculate. You don't have to go to Harrington. You don't have to go to anywhere else to start looking at this fact. If you approve this, I think you're setting yourself up for liability. And it was, let me choose my words carefully. Not tonight, but the planning zoning. It was sort of a slur that someone mentioned the word Love Canal. But this is the makings of it. You just don't see the potential of it. Now, one other thing that I wanted to point out is, and I think I did it, but things that you're known are under permit, why wasn't that disclosed to these buyers? Because when I went out the other night, they approached me and said, now we understand why they had to sign all these releases that they're not holding the developer accountable. And for the record, if it's of any concern, maybe they should come up with a class action suit. I thank you for your time. I didn't say anything to offend people, but this is the only time to speak. The rest of the time, you're just running your mouth, and I try not to run my mouth to it amounts to something.
Thank you. Are there any other, is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? And I don't see anyone. Again, is there anyone that, there's one more here.
I do want to let you know, only half of this work, so maybe I only heard half of what went on tonight.
Hi, my name is Les Friedley. I just had a couple of quick comments, and not everything I was going to say was already mentioned, but I happen to be involved in the executive board of Plantations East, and we have about 400 homeowners there, and one of our concerns is there has been somewhat of an increase in problems with delinquents and some robberies and so forth, as most people know. So I've talked to the police department, and they've told us that they would patrol our site if we accommodated them with the appropriate roadways and signage and so forth. Now, I started thinking in terms of services. We've had the fire department come in as well. But I wouldn't want to drive a fire truck and make a right turn into that development and try to service somebody. And especially if there are fires, as this gentleman said, that might be something that we'd want to think about. If the tendency is with a lot of the developments to rent them out, that you might want to have some police supervision. And I don't believe they would go on to a property that hasn't been designed to accommodate the police needs as they express them. So I think that's something that should be considered. Another thing, since the other gentleman was talking about the depth of the site where the waste is a problem, in my development, some people have done surveys and they say the aquifer is about 55 feet below us in plantations. Now, there's been somewhat of an uproar because now we're paying something like 135% increase in the cost of water. The water flows freely under our place, but what is the quality of the water? Nobody can tell us. And so that's a real concern and a real issue, I think, and I'm going to recommend that we start doing testing. If nobody else does any testing, at least we'll know what the quality of our water is, especially since we're paying so much money for it. But by the very same token, Mary Cox happened to mention that test drillings have shown that there are heavy metals that have been located on the site. And I was at the original hearings with the DENREC people. And from what I could determine, I didn't understand a lot of what was going on. And I know something about environmental sciences. For them to talk about everything that was coming out of the site was harmless and that they were going to remediate it as they went along, I said to myself, and they conducted an environmental impact statement? You know, I mean, I can't see going ahead without knowing what you're getting yourself into in the first place. And from what testimony I've heard tonight, there could be anything in that site. And there have been trace elements of chromium and other heavy metals that are toxic. And I think everybody knows that in this part of Delaware, there's a very high cancer rate. And I mean, people should be concerned about things like that. I know a number of people in and around the area who've contracted cancer, and nobody seems to be able to diagnose where it came from. So these are kind of serious concerns. Another matter that was touched on, I think I want to mention, is that I couldn't see what that gentleman was saying, but I know you people can't see it, but in any event, there's a difference in traffic patterns depending what time of year that you happen to go on Plantations Road, or if it's weekend or weekday. What happens is that everybody, as one gentleman said, discovered that Shady Road Shady Lane is basically a shortcut, so they come shooting down onto
GPS
Plantations.
GPS.
And you're talking about an entrance for this development that's only a couple hundred yards down. Now, I know I've got to look 4 or 5 times if I'm going south on Plantations Road because they just come from out of nowhere. And there's no signage or anything that warns them that this is a heavy use entrance. Like I say, we have 400 homes, probably have maybe 800 cars in the development, and a lot of traffic. So I just wanted to raise those points, and since I'm probably the last speaker, but I don't think they were totally covered. And I thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Is there anyone else that wishes to speak on a new topic in opposition? Is there anyone else that wishes to speak? If not, Mr. President?
We will, if there is no objection, close the public hearing.
Well, do we want to, the question would be, do we want to leave the record open for anything? There was a number of questions. Maybe we've heard so much tonight about environmental issues. I don't know if I know what to ask for at this point, but I was wondering if we should maybe leave the record open so that if the council has any concerns, they can make some requests in the next X amount of days, whatever we want to limit it to DNREC and maybe any other agencies, and then have that information compiled and see if we want to, you know, if we have any questions that have been raised at tonight's hearing.
What I heard so tonight is totally different from what DENREC told me, that how they're going to remediate. So,
well, anyway, some clarifications, I think. So anyway, then we could maybe put it all back on the agenda. I think that Planning and Zoning has left it open for
one item.
For the what?
Or one item, which
one
was
item.
Assigned agreement.
Right. I'm also concerned if we didn't get anything from the school districts. I'd like to put them on the spot and send them back another request and say we'd like to hear something. Mm-hmm. I think it's very important. So I would like to leave the record open for just for about 30 days. And if the council has any questions for the different agencies, that we can go through Mr. Lank, and maybe Mr. Lank can get a response out of him for those things. But I think there's some issues here that I think we even an environmental impact study, I think somebody at the end here. I mean, here's an environmentally sensitive area, and probably if there's anything we've heard in a long time, this might warrant requiring an environmental impact study. So maybe we ought to put it back on the agenda and discuss it or leave it open. Anyway, I think we need more time. I just hate to cut it off tonight and go home. I don't know how anybody else feels.
Mm-hmm. Is what you're leaving open, George, you're leaving it open for the council to ask questions?
Yes.
And that's it, right?
Yeah, now. I don't think we need to receive any more information, but I think if the council has any questions and we require some agency's response, give us a little time to think about this a little bit and ponder it, and then maybe we put it back on the agenda for next week to maybe we can give Mr. Lank some direction if there is some issues that we've thought about. But anyway, I think it's because of the hour. Because what we've heard tonight, I just don't think would be appropriate to try to shoot from the hip and try to cover all the bases. So I'd like just to leave the record open for a further discussion and for the council to request from
okay. Info. However, it would be closed for any comments from the public, any letters, because they've had a good opportunity to.
I think we've heard about as much as we need to hear.
The issue on the table was closing the public hearing. And it doesn't sound like you're requesting the public hearing remain open. So the public hearing will be closed. With respect to the record, Mr. Cole, I believe you're asking that the record be left open for additional information to be brought to the council.
Right.
Yes.
And also, I think we ought to maybe put on the table at a later date the issue of just is an environmental impact study warranted for this? Mm-hmm. Site, and that would be another outside agency, not DNREC, but another outside agency to come in and do a report on assessment. So, but that's something we need to discuss, whether we want to go forward with that or not. But again, I don't think we need to make a decision tonight.
Oh no! But do you have a time frame, George? You want to try to get it?
Well, why don't we say you want to 2 weeks, and then put it back on the agenda and see where we are. Or we can do it in a week some direction to Mr. Lank. And maybe we have some questions come up within a week, what agencies we want to ask and what we'd like to have, and then Mr. Lank then could go forward, and then we could put another time frame to get that information back to
us. Well, closing the public record doesn't preclude or limit the council's ability to request more information later on, does it, Mr.
Absolutely.
Moore?
Well, we got to keep the record open, though. That's part of the record. We got to somehow leave that record open, Vance, if we're going to put it in there, because many times I've heard that the record's been closed. We can't consider this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow it's got to be open.
You should not take in more information once the record is closed.
Okay.
Do the state police ever comment on these things?
That might be one of the questions you may have that we can direct.
Why
but I
not?
They just don't.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to know.
They asked even that we not give them notice.
They asked that we not give them notice?
Yeah.
Mr. President, we think
they weren't responding.
A reasonable amount of time.
2 weeks.
Okay. 2 weeks?
That's fine. Typically, you tell us up front this evening what you're going to request.
Typically, we're specific about what we're looking for.
I know, but I don't want to be specific tonight. It's just there's been a lot of information. I think I don't mind being specific next Tuesday. I don't want to be specific at 10 o'clock after we've been here since 3 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe that Mr. Baker has already posted the agenda for next Tuesday, so we will ask Mr. Baker to put this back on the agenda for the following Tuesday.
That'd be fine.
And we will take it up from here.
Okay. I'll make a motion we defer for the and with those on this application, but to leave the record open for 2 weeks.
For council
to request from any agencies?
Yeah, I want to know what that fire is about.
Any additional information?
I want to know what the fire is about.
But we had to defer anyway because P&Z had not made a decision.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a motion by Mr. Cole, second by Mr. Vincent, to defer tonight and to place this back on the agenda 2 weeks from now to allow council to request additional information that could then be placed in the public record. Is there any additions to that motion, Mr. Moore, that would make you more comfortable?
No.
Okay. Any discussion from council?
I'd also like to talk to the fire department and get some more information.
That's part of the motion.
Part of the motion, Ms. Deaver. If there's no further questions, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes.
Make a motion, we adjourn.
Second motion.
All in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries.